This is The Traversidiest. Hello and welcome. I'm Gretchen Carr, creator, host, and producer of The Traversidiest. I invite you to join me on an exploration of the regional culture in and around Traverse City, Michigan.
The Traversidiest is brought to you with the support of Common Good Bakery, announcing Common Good at Night at its new location on 8th Street near Garfield in Traverse City. Common Good at Night will serve dinner every day until 9 p.m., serving dishes that reflect roots in the Italian countryside, taking what is affordable, abundant, and grown locally, and letting those ingredients speak for themselves. Find out more about Common Good at Night at commongoodbakery.com.
As one of the world's most easily identified geographical boundaries, Michigan's Lower Peninsula is commonly called the Mitten. Michiganders often reference where they live by displaying their open right hand. Between the pinky and the ring finger is Traverse City, Michigan. The geography of this Midwest American region is the common denominator that influences the values and collective identity of the people here. In this podcast, I'll bring you stories and conversations from the people that create the culture of the Traverse City region. Last summer, I was walking down Front Street in downtown Traverse City, and there in the center of the window display of my favorite bookstore was a world atlas. The cover for this atlas was a satellite image of the Leelanau Peninsula, or as Michiganders call it, the pinky finger. I immediately wanted to know the backstory. How was this corner of the world selected for the cover of the 8th edition Oxford Essential World Atlas? I contacted the Oxford University Press Art Department, and their staff was able to share the story behind the selection process. Traditionally, Oxford atlases would feature images of the Earth from a distant viewpoint, generally from older NASA sources of the blue marble hanging in black space. They were beautiful, but according to Oxford, were feeling a bit dated and made it hard to differentiate a new atlas from an older one. When Oxford came up with a new printing, it was an opportunity to update the cover design and bring it in line with a new approach. The design department was presented with three options. The editorial and marketing staff had to decide which image would be on the cover. The final three images in contention were Abu Dhabi, the Namibian desert, and the Leelanau Peninsula. Abu Dhabi sits on an island on the southeastern side of the Arabian Peninsula in the Gulf of Persia. The Namibian desert, the world's oldest desert, is located along the southeastern coast of Africa and is virtually uninhabited. The Leelanau Peninsula extends about 50 kilometers off of Michigan's Lower Peninsula into Lake Michigan. The representative at Oxford informed me that the Midwestern United States was not well known to many on the staff, and though a beautiful image on its own, it came as a surprise to them that it was the coastline of a great lake and not the South Pacific Ocean. I shared this backstory with friends who had a keen spatial perspective, and one of those people was Rob Carner. I met Rob when I was a college student, working summers at a private boarding and day school on the Sleeping Bear Bay in western Leelanau County. At the end of the workday, I would head to the beach, and there was Rob, ready for anyone to help him launch his Hobie Cat and sail away. I was always game.
You and I have shared some pretty special times out on the bay. Do you remember?
I mean,
you were totally engaged with the elements.
Yeah,
and it's the speed of the wind and the traveling through the water and not a sound except our laughs and our giggles and our great conversation.
I asked Rob, what do Abu Dhabi, the Namibian desert, and the Leelanau Peninsula have in common?
An active sand dune.
Rob was correct. Abu Dhabi, the Namibian desert, and the Leelanau Peninsula all contain active sand dunes, which are always changing due to the wind and the water. Rob wasn't surprised that the Leelanau Peninsula was the top choice for the atlas cover.
What makes it so unique from space is that it stands out like like no place else in the North American continent. I mean, it's thought to be the big sand dune, the big desert. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the plants that grow there, it's not really a desert at all. I mean, we don't have a climate for desert. And so the origins of these other two deserts you talked about are not of a glacial formation. It's not even something that I know that much about geologically, but for this particular Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore and the point, Sleeping Bear Point, is surrounded by water. And the contrast between the water and the sand is striking, not only from space, but from a sailboat. You know, I mean, that's where I want my ashes to be placed at Sleeping Bear Point someday. It's because that's where I found my connection with the beauty of this area.
Rob and his wife Barb are longtime residents of Glen Arbor in Leelanau County. A wildlife biologist for the Glen Lake Association, Rob also taught biology at the nearby Leelanau School for 38 years. In his retirement, he still helps out at the school whenever they need him. In his early years of teaching, Rob had been shown early satellite images of Leelanau County by a former school trustee, Dr. Charles Olson.
I was able to learn a lot about Landsat satellite imagery from Dr. Olson, who was one of the trustees at the Leelanau School and was a student at the Leelanau School back in the 30s. Went on to the University of Michigan and became a remote sensing lab expert. And he showed me that picture of Leelanau County in its entirety, sort of the big overview look. And he told me the story about how astronauts would orbit the planet and would see that Sleeping Bear Point and that big sort of white spot on the tip of the Sleeping Bear Bay. He was bringing that imagery to me and saying, look how special this is.
Rob knew exactly how special this place was, especially the Sleeping Bear Bay. When he graduated from the University of Michigan, he applied for a teaching position at the Leelanau School. He couldn't believe he had the opportunity to teach in such a beautiful place.
It turned out to be a great deal because it was my first and only interview for a job. And I stayed there 38 years, and I'm still here. They haven't figured out a way to get rid of me. So I'm just thrilled to be a part of this community and a part of this magical area. And for me, I don't think I'll ever leave. I mean, look at what I've done. I came here and I planted roots. I raised two boys. Barb and I have been so thrilled to be here, and we continue to be a part of this Sleeping Bear Bay. And so me, it's heaven on earth. It's nirvana. It really is.
Or delight. As it turns out, the origin of the name Leelanau is not what we thought it was. For over a century, the name Leelanau was thought to be an Ojibwe word meaning delight of life or land of delight, but it has recently been revealed that it was a neologism from Indian agent and ethnographer Henry Schoolcraft. Schoolcraft created many place names in Michigan using syllables of Ojibwe, Latin, and Arabic, neglecting the fact that the Ojibwe language lacks any of the phonemes associated with the letter L in English. Most places have names with a meaning or a history behind it. It now appears that the name Leelanau may not have any meaning at all. Rob offered his take.
I don't like the fact that it's nailed down. It can mean so many things to so many people. That brings richness to the word Leelanau. When you think about, well, for us it means this, and for them it means that. Mm-hmm. For me, it's what I call the soft county.
The soft county.
Yeah, because when you look at the terrain, mm-hmm. there's no jagged edges, there's no rock outcroppings, there's no formations of the landscape that's hard, it's all soft. I mean, you look at the tree canopy on the hills and the ridge lines, and it's all smooth, there's no rough, jagged edges. I love the repeating bays. You got Cathead Bay, you got Good Harbor Bay, mm-hmm. you got Sleeping Bear Bay, you got Platte Bay. These are all scoops in the little finger that just stand out like crazy. And I love going from bay to bay to bay because, I mean, in my location, I'm in the middle of two wonderful bays. I go north to Good Harbor and get my soul sort of recharged there because you can see Pyramid Point and the Whaleback, and it's just beautiful. But then you go to Sleeping Bear Bay, which I think is the best bay of all the bays because of the two islands. Yeah, you got North and South Manitou, and so there's this coziness in Sleeping Bear Bay that wraps around you. And I go there, I probably, in my 45 years of living here, been to that shoreline in front of the Leelanau School, I don't know, 100,000 times. It just seems so wonderful because I got access to it. I can go to there and just recharge, re-energize, to refocus and take all my troubles. You know, there's that song by the Dixie Chicks.
Wide Open Spaces.
Yeah, oh, making your big mistake in wide open spaces. It doesn't have as much impact. But for me, the wide open spaces allows your mind to expand, your heart to swell, and it makes you want to keep coming back. And it's never the same. You know, they always say there's never the same beach twice.
In all his years of exploring and teaching in Leelanau County, Rob is continually in awe of his environment, especially with the quality of the water in the Glen Lake and Crystal River watershed.
All I know is that the water that comes out of a very small watershed, the Glen Lake Crystal River watershed, is 40% of it is national park. So there's a lot of drainage, there's a lot of filtering, a lot of cleaning of the water, even before it gets into the river. And then when it comes out of the river and into the bay, I've seen cases where the bay's all whipped up from the winds and the water's turbid, and you see the washing up of the zebra mussels and the quagga mussels. But the river that comes into that bay, the Crystal River, the mouth of it, is actually cleaning the bay. So cool. And we know that because I've tested the water quality of the mouth over the last 35 years, and then I know that the water that I've tested out in the bay, it's always equal or better in the river coming in. So here's a picture of the watershed right up there.
Right.
And what's really cool about our watershed is that not only 40% of the land is protected in perpetuity, but it's a small watershed related to the size of the surface water of the lakes. In other words, the land that collects the water and drains in is the area of that land is much smaller than most watersheds. Most watersheds collect water from huge, like hundreds of square miles. Mm-hmm. This has got 50 square miles. So
and the all fact that sand.
Yeah.
Around. Yeah.
And that sand is filtering that water because in a lot of the land is pervious to the rain and the snow melt, and so when it comes in, it really has a high water quality, either from the groundwater, like 50% of the water that comes into Glen Lake comes from the groundwater. It's a spring-fed lake. I even go out in the Big Glen, and in the middle, I'll drink the water straight out of the boat.
In the summers, Rob conducts tours on the Discovery Boat, an offering that is part of the Glen Lake Association's outreach program. He teaches residents and visitors how the area lakes and dunes were formed, what influences water quality, and how to keep the watershed healthy.
You know, when you look at Glen Lake, I mean, and the homes around the shoreline, it's usually people of wherewithal. I mean, financially.
Of means, yes.
And so they're often world travelers.
Right.
And they've been everywhere. And I find this to be true on our Discovery boats when we're out on the lake. And I've got 8 guests on a pontoon boat for 2 hours. And they talk about having gone here and gone there, but they always find that they're the most satisfied right here in Glen Lake because, like, the county is really intriguing to them. And it almost trumps some of the most beautiful places on the planet.
But not only just the geography, what else?
It's the community.
And
the people here. I mean,
and what about the people here?
What about the people here? Well, you'll in any place you go, you're going to find people that are going to be sort of stick in the mud type people. a burr under your saddle. They're gonna, but by and large, the majority of the people here are very educated. They're in tune. They're community minded.
Building a great community relies on the residents themselves to look after their space and be mindful of how their actions will affect the environment. It reminds me of the term that is known by astronauts as the overview effect. The overview effect is characterized as a state of awe when looking at the Earth from space. The most common aspects are the appreciation and perception of beauty, unexpected and overwhelming emotion, and an increased sense of connection to other people and the Earth as a whole. The effect can cause changes in the observer's self-concept and value system and can be transformative. Whenever I travel, I always compare my new environments to my home environment. I mean, who doesn't? I also compare the connections I make in other places to the connections I have made here. Rob is one of those connections.
You know, when I was sailing, I enjoyed two elements of sailing. One is when I was out there alone, and then the times when I was with people. And the people that I've ever sailed with, I've always maintained friendships. They've never have been severed. Seriously. I mean, and we've had so much fun. Sometimes the wind would...
That tells you something.
But sometimes the wind would offer us a nice, comfortable sail. Other times it was... Beating us, and we were wondering if we could get back at the same place at the same time. I mean, if anything really bad happened, you'd always be in a good spot.
Yeah.
And even now, in midlife, when I hike the highest dune at the Sleeping Bear Point and look out over the vastness or ride the waves of Lake Michigan on a sailboat, I feel as though I could be in orbit myself. I can't help but think, what an honor that this corner of the Earth graces the cover of a world atlas, humanity's map of Earth. I'm Gretchen Carr. Thanks for listening to The Traversityist. To learn more about future episodes, visit traversityist.com.
The Traversityist is brought to you with the support of Common Good Bakery, now with two locations. The original bakery at 537 West 14th Street, and the new Eastside location at 1115 East 8th, just off Garfield in Traverse City. Both bakeries are open every day from 6 a.m. till 3 p.m. Find out more at commongoodbakery.com.